Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So in this episode, I'd like to feature a conversation I recently recorded with Jim Collins. If you are a longtime podcast listener, you know this is Jim's second appearance on the Exec MBA Podcast. He was previously on discussing strategies for climbers, those students who wish to move up within their organization, and I invited Jim back to talk a little bit more about what we mean when we talk about a network-driven search. What does it look like? What are the stages? How might someone go about it? As you may know, there are many different channels by which executive format students who are looking to make a career switch find that next opportunity, but networking is invariably a big part of the search process. I thought it would be great to have Jim on the podcast to talk a little bit more about what exactly this means from a strategic and tactical level. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jim Collins. So, Jim, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Super to be back here with you again today, Brett.
So, as I mentioned, we talk with prospective students all the time about, as executive format students, they will likely network to their next opportunity. But at a high level, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, if you think about the ways people typically find job opportunities for themselves, they do so in a variety of forms. The standard approach, obviously, is to find an opportunity posted somewhere electronically or in print and send in a resume for it. While we wouldn't want to discourage you from doing so, just be aware that 400 of your closest friends are doing the exact same thing, applying for that very same job, and it's a numbers game. They're looking to weed a pool of 400 down to maybe 5 or 6 high potential candidates. So the odds that you're going to land that particular job, when all they know about you is what's on your piece of paper, are limited at best. So the way folks typically find their opportunities, we like to quote about 75-80% of the jobs people land in over the course of their career come from the networks they have, the people that they know. And essentially, it's in our thinking, it's essential to get known beyond your piece of paper because that is what differentiates you from the competition.
So talking about the life cycle of one of these searches, where do you start and, how do you get from that point to actually applying?
Well, that's good. Good question. As I think about it, and I think about this as also in some of the tips for preparation, it's essential that you start with clarity about yourself. So if you think about it, you are in essence taking yourself to market. So what are you selling? What kind of professional, or how do you define yourself as a professional? What are your true gifts and talents, your skill sets that you're bringing to the party? And what kind of impact or results do you deliver? So with those in mind, you're able to shape, if you will, a professional brand for yourself, a professional summary, and that's the basis for your elevator pitch or your 30-second commercial, whatever you want to call it. And that is what the product is you're bringing to market. With that in mind, then, how do you define the industries in which you're interested in? Where are those skill sets best applied or best practices? And once you have defined the kind of target industries that you're looking for, what are the target companies that populate them? And I usually recommend to people that you come up with a list of maybe 30 or 40 organizations that look like they have appeal to you. With that, it's a numbers game, but you want the numbers working in your favor versus in the company's favor. So with that, identifying then within those target companies who are network connections that you might have. Now, those network connections can come from a variety of sources. Obviously, for Darden students, we want to use the Darden network, but if you may also have military connections, connections from your undergraduate institutions, connections from your professional association and networks that you belong to, and so forth. So identifying relevant people within those target organizations that given LinkedIn these days, it is really not hard to do. Or you can use, if you're a Darden student, the alumni database. We strongly recommend that. Once those target connections have been identified, just simply reach out to them with brief emails, something to the effect of, "Hi, I'm Brett Twitty. I'm a Darden Executive MBA in transition, looking for opportunities in the XYZ industry. Mm-hmm. Very interested in your company. Would really appreciate an opportunity to get your thoughts and advice on my job search and career transition. And I've noted that you are also offering a position as a product manager with your organization. I'd like to also speak to you about that." Very quick email, reach out to them. We experience a very high success rate, a very high response rate from the Darden community to those kind of email overtures. And then once you have that in mind, it's simply a matter of setting up an informational interview. I think the key here is that you want to focus on building a relationship and finding ways to add value. You want to ask them for their thoughts and advice on your transition or your job search. You don't want to focus on asking them for a job. Mm. Inevitably, they may say, well, I don't have a job. Well, I'm not really in charge of this job. You know, send me your resume. I'll get back to you if we have a need for you. And then you've lost an opportunity to build a relationship because you typically don't hear back from after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk with prospective students about the idea of concentric rings within the alumni pool, right? So
yes.
Your warmest group is likely your classmates, right, who are all working and are at companies and mm-hmm. Exec alumni, right? They're most familiar with your program. But then you have sort of a bigger ring, sort of go out. A second warmest would be the Darden Alumni Network.
Sure, yes.
Then the UVA Alumni Network,
yeah.
Right? So obviously it sounds like you've had a lot of success, you know, with students reaching out.
For the executive MBAs mm-hmm. that come to Darden, the day they step foot on grounds here for their Leadership One residency, they've stepped into an immediate network of about 400 students. Mm-hmm. Now, 135 or so are going to be their immediate classmates, but then there's the second year students as well, and then we have about 155 or so alumni, executive MBA, alumni network partners who have volunteered to serve as resources for the current students. So that's your immediate network of 400. It's very low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, you've got another 750 executive MBA alumni who are just as willing to, you know, reach out and help you. All you need to do is contact them. And then, of course, the broader 16,000 or 17,000 full-time alumni that we have. Mm-hmm. Then, as you mentioned, there's the UVA networks. And beyond that, your military and or your undergraduate programs mm-hmm. that you've attended.
Your own personal and professional networks are also
yes, relevant. Correct.
So we've had this initial meeting. You know, I've gathered interest and sort of industry information, learned more about this company. And you think about building this relationship, you know, with this person. How do I go forward? What do I think, you know, I check back in as I take additional steps? How do you advise students to think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the thing about networking mm-hmm. is that you want to keep it warm. So there are lots of tips and tricks for that. Mm-hmm. I like to use the term pinging. Mm-hmm. So on appropriate times, without being intrusive, you send them some little ping that kind of reminds them of your relationship. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some examples of that. Mm-hmm. So you have a network interview with an individual. You send them a thank you note afterwards. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's kind of required, but that's a ping. And maybe they have referred you to one or two other individuals. So every time you meet with someone they referred you to, not only do you send that referral person an email, but you also send the original individual that referred you another thank you mm-hmm. email. Could be a couple weeks, could be a month later. Hi, Bob. Thanks very much for referring me to Jane. Really appreciate it. Had a great conversation. Also appreciate your thoughts and advice on my job search. In addition, while you're interviewing the individual – you're finding out information about them. You're finding out information about, you know, their personal interests or perhaps the business challenges that they're trying to address and so forth. Maybe at some appropriate time in the future, you come across an article or maybe another network connection that you refer to that individual, or you just send them another email. Say, I know you're working on this XYZ challenge. I came across this article in Newsweek or Businessweek or what have you. Thought you might be interested in it, or just send them a link to it. In addition, when you conclude the interview with the individual, one of the questions you've asked is, say, if I have any additional questions, would it be all right if I get back in touch with you? And inevitably, they're going to say, well, of course, no problem. Well, it could be 3 months later. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you don't. But if you don't, you make one up. And you get back in touch with them. Just a way of kind of reconnecting, keeping that network warm, as I like to say, and remaining somewhere in the back of their mind, because who knows what kinds of opportunities might pop up, come across their field of vision, that all of a sudden they make a connection with you in mind and get back in touch with you on that.
So a little bit of a sort of step back. if I'm someone who wants to change function or industry, right? So yes. We see these switchers in our program, and I'm trying to figure out what I might want to do, right? Our Explorer group. How do you use informational networking there to help you think about, you know, narrowing down without seeing seeming unclear about who you are and what you want to do in a way that might be disadvantageous in a future search?
Oh, well, this is a great question. In fact, this, for me, helps illustrate the breadth and power of networking. You know, most people, when they think about networking, they think about it as a very focused job search thing. Mm-hmm. So when I meet with you, Brett, as a networking contact, I'll be asking for your thoughts and advice on my job search. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm not clear exactly what I want to do, I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up, mm-hmm. or if I'm exploring opportunities and what a transition might look like into a new industry or perhaps a new function, I'm not really at the point where I'm ready to, you know, begin a structured, focused job search. Instead, my questions are more fundamental. Perhaps I want to know things such as, you know, tell me more about what it's like to be a product manager or a finance executive within this industry, you know. And I'm transitioning from corporate finance to investment banking or sales or what have you. And I'd really like to know more about the specific investment banking industry or whatever industry you're looking to transition to. And you have questions about that. You have questions about what kind of role an individual like myself with my background and experience and so forth would play. What's the portal of entry and what are the stepping stones and how do I get there? Those kinds of questions are pretty fundamental. Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes the focus of the interview. Mm-hmm. All you really need to do to start those off is some general clarity, once again, about here's the general type of professional I am. Here are what my true interests and gifts and talents are, my strengths. Here's the kind of impact that I get jazzed about delivering. And I'd like to know more about how I might do that, the kind of roles I might play, once again, in the industry that that other individual represents or the functional area that they are currently, you know, working in.
Yeah, your previous colleague, Jeff Leopold, who was here yes. for a while now at McIntyre, I believe, he used to talk about just getting curious yes. about what people do. And you buy quite a few cups of coffee through this process, but you're just inherently curious in learning about people and their work, why they decided to do that, advice they might have.
I think that's spot on, really. It's all a matter of just genuine, not just curiosity, but also inquiring, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to find out more.
Yeah.
And doing so with maybe the agenda in mind of trying to figure out how would that fit for me mm-hmm. and how might I fit with it.
So how do you help students manage the ambiguity of a network search, right? Because there's on grounds recruiting, there's like a definite structure. There's right. there's a sort of way that it unfolds. Network search is squishy. You know, you're having these conversations. They're all sort of advancing, perhaps slowly, but advancing towards a goal, but much more ambiguous in terms of scope. Well,
it is for sure, yeah. and somewhat anxiety provoking.
Well, you have a background though in counseling, right?
Yes, that's
so
true.
Which may help you as you work with students on this. But how do you help students navigate that? And sit with that feeling.
One of the hard things to sit with for most people is the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Now, for the students themselves, it depends on what their transition point is. Mm-hmm. Most have a transition point when they come here of somewhere around the time of graduation. So that gives them a 18, 20, maybe 24-month window, if you will, to find an opportunity. So what we'd like to do is break that 24-month or 22-month or whatever window down into segments. It depends upon where they're starting. To the extent they have great clarity about themselves and the transition they want to make, well, then it's going to take a shorter amount of time. To the extent that they really have a very broad and basic exploration agenda, it's like I truly don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And I'll use an individual wants to transition from the military to the private sector. You know, they are very clear about what they're doing, you know, in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force and what have you. But they are not so clear about how any of that transitions and translates into the private sector. What kind of roles might they play? What kind of industries might they be most appropriate for? So their basic search is going to go through multiple phases. Mm-hmm. The very first phase they might spend 6-9 months on, just exploring ways in which their background, their experience, and the kinds of professional they are might translate into the private sector. Mm-hmm. At some point in that process, clarity begins to emerge. And a couple of industry potential industries that would be that have a high probability of success and interest begin to emerge. And then you begin a more focused but still high-level exploration within those specific industries. And that might take you another 6 months or so. But clarity once again begins to emerge from that process. You map what the actual transition might look like. Mm-hmm. What are those, as I said earlier, those portals of entry and the stepping stones? And you're also building relationships within those industries and within target companies. That once you have enough clarity, then you begin to put together the resumes and the LinkedIn profiles and all the documents and communications you need to take yourself to market.
Yeah.
And then you go back to that network and you say, okay, now I know what I'm about. I know who I am. I know what I'm looking for. Now I'm into phase three, and I want to get your thoughts and advice about a focused job search. Mm-hmm. How do I actually make this transition from the military into a general management position within Johnson & Johnson? Mm-hmm. Or within the healthcare industry, or what have you.
So to pivot just a little bit, one of the things that's been exciting, I think, for our executive format students over these past few years is the expansion of job opportunities that are available to them. We talked over the summer; there are hundreds and hundreds of opportunities that our students could potentially apply for through a variety of channels, right? On grounds recruiting, sort of off grounds recruiting, mm-hmm. where companies post, and then you go to that city and interview. One of the recent additions to this slate of offerings is a virtual job fair, which is coming up this next Friday, I believe,
September 12th.
Yeah. That's okay. Correct. All right. So next week. How exciting for the students to do that? But I think probably for some of our listeners at home wondering, what's a virtual job fair? How does it work?
Sure. Well, maybe a little background on
that. Yeah, that would be great.
We've been talking about this. This is an event that we are putting together in collaboration with 10 other business schools, mm-hmm. All the top 15, top 20 mm-hmm. business schools. We have been talking for the past couple of years about ways to bring additional opportunities to the executive format students. Mm-hmm. Very challenging because they don't have the time. They're busy with their jobs. Mm-hmm. They're busy with the program. They're busy with their families and whatever else they have going mm-hmm. on in life. Most, however, want to engineer some sort of significant transition in their career, hence the MBA, but they simply don't have a lot of time to work on it. So we're just trying to, as best as we can, create an easy button, if you will, mm-hmm. that enables folks to link up with opportunities that might be right for them. Mm-hmm. So to your point, we each year we bring, 30, 40 jobs through the on-grounds recruiting process. We bring, another 400, 450 mm-hmm. through off-grounds, just job postings on our job board that are specifically for executive MBAs. And then there's another 150 or so through our interview forums that we conduct in Chicago and Boston and New York and San Francisco. And this is just yet another way of trying to generate additional job opportunities using the collective influence, if you will, of 11 business schools, very 11 high profile 11 top 20 business schools and attracting organizations. So as I said, we've been talking about this for 2 years.
And now you're here.
And now we're here. It's like herding cats to get 11 business schools to agree on anything.
That's understandable. But I think, so if I'm a student and I'm participating in the virtual job fair, what does that look like?
Oh, it's very straightforward. Well, first of all, you have to register.
Right.
We provide all that information for you. But in many ways, it just simply mirrors a job fair. If you think about a typical job mm-hmm. fair, well, you have companies that are exhibiting. Mm-hmm. And you can go sit down and talk with those representatives. They will fill you in on the organization and what it's doing. They'll have all sorts of material and brochures. You have an opportunity to talk about the current job opportunities that they are currently posting. You can pass them a resume mm-hmm. and you can apply for positions.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what this virtual career fair does.
Yeah.
So we have it's a pilot program. We're just testing it out. So far, we've gotten a good response. The exhibiting companies will have their own little page on the website. So you go to a home page, landing page with the career fair. You'll see the companies that are participating. You'll click on each one of interest. You'll be taken to their page. You can view a video on the company. They'll have all sorts of text, written information on the organization. Mm-hmm. They'll have the job opportunities that they're posting. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to upload a resume to apply for them if you choose, or just upload a resume in general just mm-hmm. To get in on their radar screen.
Yeah.
And then there's a chat function that you can actually have a text chat mm-hmm. with some representatives. It'll be live.
Yeah.
And there's opportunities also to leave your phone number and or get in touch with them by phone if you mm-hmm. want to talk further.
Well, Jim, we appreciate your being on the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you, as always, for your expertise and for your support of our students and their career goals.
Happy to do it. Thanks very much for inviting me.
And that was my interview with Jim Collins, a member of our career development team that works closely with our executive format students. So, of course, as always, here on the podcast, if you have comments, suggestions, questions, requests, we can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, thanks for listening.